Hi guys, just a quick notice. Due to the lockdown regulations and rules, we've had to record over Zoom. So, literally, apologize about the sound. But, without further ado, enjoy the episode.
I didn't clock it.
You know, I only clock stuff about me. I can't lie, I'm best off.
Yeah, every man for themselves.
Oh, I ain't taking nothing out of the mobile. Cameron asked me to take outside, I take it out of nothing. You know what I mean?
Okay. Oh gosh.
Selfish.
Keep it shaking.
I like Alvin, man.
Hi guys, you alright?
Yeah.
Man, call me so humbly.
Sound tired, Alvin?
I am. Hey,
salmon t-shirt and everything.
Salmon t-shirt.
I think you look sexy in pink, Alvin.
Oh, love it, man. No, you don't. Take it
off.
You're hating.
Don't hate the player, bro.
I'm trying to get Alvin naked.
That's a bit cheeky.
Hello from the edit, it's Future Alvin.
Yeah, so it's Cameron here.
Hi guys, Justin here.
Hey, it's your girl T here on After Sundown Podcast.
And you're locked into the After Sundown Podcast.
Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast.
Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast.
Sit back and enjoy.
Enjoy.
It's about to be a mazzoline still.
Whoa.
It's very cheeky.
Hey yo, I've been banging off girlfriends, you know.
I love girlfriends.
What? Whoa, bring it back.
Oh, sorry, not my girlfriend.
Oh,
lol.
So you mean that girlfriend?
It's program.
Program, man.
Because how could I be banging off to you, Justin? Use your common sense.
Relax, man. Relax.
I don't swing that way.
Yeah?
Yeah, we know. Clear, you filthy animal.
Nah, it's the way I said it. It's the way I dropped it as well, Justin.
No, it's not. Don't. No, it's not. No, it's not. Right, Alvin, are you all set up? I got an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
It's the pensioner's bedtime.
Mate. It's the time I wake up.
What about now? What we saying?
Can we respect him, please?
5:30.
Why? As you can tell, you're working, you know. 5 o'clock is like the midnight hour, you know.
No,
I said the midnight hour, bro. Allow it.
Okay. The midnight hour.
Alright, let's get with the episode.
Alright, cool.
Okay. Welcome, are we recording?
Yeah, we're recording.
Yay.
Alright. Welcome back to another episode of After Sundown Podcast. Literally, sorry about the sound. Cameron, none of that overtaking, because like we know the Wi-Fi is a bit bad over here, so let's just relax with you, keep it down. Technology.
we all got
5G. We ain't got 5G. But yeah. Back with another episode. Chapter 7.
Chapter 7.
The test of discipline. The test of discipline.
No.
Discipleship.
Discipleship, bro.
Discipleship.
I thought it was the same thing, man. To be honest.
Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast with...
Hey, I'm editing it out, you know, like...
No, you're not. Because no, it's not. Another example that Justin never reads the chapters.
I do. I'm reading it right now. Look.
Exactly. And you still got it wrong. Explain that.
It's a bit bad.
Hey, yo. Justin,
you know what it was? I needed to discipline myself earlier today. So I was like, bro. Hey. So I'm just speaking about discipline, by the way. The test of discipleship. Obviously, guys, if you want to read along, get me Steps to Christ, Energy White.
Yeah.
What chapter?
As always. Definitely. Chapter 7, of course. Yeah. But yeah, guys, we're back again. Haha! How's everyone going, though? Like, so, you know,
I know I can rely on Talifa and Alvin to have read the chapter, so, you know. More than Justin.
I've read it too for the listeners out there.
Shut up, Justin.
By the time you guys are listening, Justin would have read it.
Are you mad? I didn't read last week's one as well. Like, I just left that alone.
Mate.
I'm joking.
No, he's not.
I know you're not.
No, he's not. Don't be like Justin. be like me and take it in chunks. The best way to do it is in chunks, isn't it? Like, just do
hashtag nickel. Chunks, young Philly.
Right,
anyway,
I want to meet the man.
Did you watch it?
I haven't seen a single one of this.
I said the last one. Season. Oh, that one was bad.
So good, man. It makes they make me want to be Mandem. Like,
oh my, don't be Mandem. Don't be Mandem.
Honestly, I want to be their friends. I want to meet them. Chunks and Young Philly. Harry Pinero, he can stay on the side because I just feel like things.
Bro, Harry's funny, bro. What do you mean?
Yeah, but hey. I can't be his boy.
Playboy Clarty, you know.
Playboy Clarty.
Why not? Why not?
Because the conversation would not be of God. So
definitely not. Definitely not.
Chunks Young Philly, down to earth. I can handle that. HP.
Philly's too straight, man.
How do you mean?
I'm on a clarting thing. Can I say that on the podcast?
Like, he's super. Yeah, you can.
Of course you can.
Yeah, yeah.
Speak your mind, T. Speak your mind.
I was quoting.
What did you say?
So I'm not on a clarting thing. Oh my days. I am not on a clarting thing.
We can't use that word, guys. That's a heavy, heavy word.
Hey, wait.
Why I'm not?
No, we can't. We cannot use that word. Nah. Because every single Caribbean person knows what that word means, and they know that.
No, but there's that one, and then there's the other meaning. It's not the.
What's the other meaning?
It's not the bad meaning. It's not the Jamaican swear meaning.
Which meaning? Oh, is it this meaning?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pat.
We're talking about the good one, Alvin.
Yeah. So it's not the bad meaning.
Get your minds out of the gutter, man. Come on, man.
Literally, Alvin.
I mean, either way, we're still in the gutter. So I don't.
It's good for physical fitness.
You don't actually burn that many calories.
I didn't think.
Talifa, come on, man. For the listeners, please.
if you plan to lose weight that way, it's not the way.
Based on some people's performances, you're really not burning that many calories. Just saying.
Wait.
Require some cardio.
Wait, I really miss you guys. You know? I can't wait until we're back in like all together.
Back in the studio.
Wait, how much time we got left? Okay.
Let's go straight to it.
Let's just start.
The test of discipleship.
I can't lie, this chapter had hella gems, you know.
Nah, it did.
I was highlighting, my whole thing is just full of highlights.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Same.
So let's start off with what is a disciple?
I watched a really cool sermon. Let me just switch screen.
Look, I'm very excited.
On the Zoe's face literally lit up.
It was one of the best. It wasn't even one sermon. It was a series of sermons, and one of the sermons was called it was something about discipleship, but it was basically based on the book of Acts. And I think it was Cameron Devesha, and he was talking about discipleship basically being discipline. So when Justin was saying what he was saying, I was like, okay.
What? Don't encourage.
Because a disciple is disciplined, or so discipline and disciple are very related words, basically.
Exactly. Thank you, Alvin, for clearing that up.
So, like, a disciple is someone who follows someone. So you're a disciple of someone. So if I'm a disciple of Christ, I follow Christ. That means I do the things that Christ does. I attempt to, and hopefully by the grace of God, day by day, live the way that Christ would have me live.
Yeah. Because here it's talking about even like the first part, just after the verse, it's talking about people not being able to track when they were converted.
Oh yeah.
Track it back. And I find that really interesting, because it's almost like, when do you become holy? You know what I'm saying? Like, when do you become righteous? And I think some of us,
when do you become converted?
When you become converted. And I think, yeah, it's a funny one, because obviously you can say it's when you get dunked into the pool, that's how you become a new creature and that, but we all know that after you get out the pool, you know, things might go amiss, you know what I'm saying, like it doesn't always go to plan. So yeah, I just think that part's interesting because it's kind of like you may be converted or you are converted, but just because you can't track it back doesn't mean that you're not walking with God in it.
Mm.
Which I think is a really important point to start off with.
Mm. So it seems to me like some people have that like experience where they know, oh my goodness, this was the day when I walked towards Christ and I was like, this is the day that I decided. Some people won't have that day where they were, for some people it won't be a day or it won't be this date in their mind when they're like, oh my goodness, this was when it happened. Mm-hmm. And like, it's like, don't get the fact that you don't have that date does not mean that you're not yet walking, or the fact that you can't go, it was here, it was. And the example that it brings up, or the verse that it brings up from the Nicodemus verse, John 3 verse 8, where it says, the wind blows where it lists, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell from where it's coming. It's like the Holy Spirit, it's not like we see the Holy Spirit and it's like, boom, the Holy Spirit has just come into my heart and into my life. Or it's not like the Holy Spirit, it's not like there's a halo that pops up around my head or anyone's head when they make that decision. It's like the wind, you see the effects of the wind and you hear it and all that jazz, and you see the effect of the Holy Spirit working in the life.
And I think it like links into the text of Second Corinthians 5:17, which is, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. So the fact, like, you know, you can see the effect of the wind, the effect of Christ being in you and the Holy Spirit dwelling in your life, is the fact that you are new. People should be able to notice a difference. Like, it shouldn't be the case of you're the same person. Like, there should be a change.
Mm-hmm.
No, I just had a question. Yeah. So when would you not say that, like, okay, when was the time that you thought that, like, my discipleship starts now? Or when did you want to be like, when was your conversion that you wanted to be a disciple for God? Let's go around the room.
I think for me, it's an ongoing process. So like, even doing this, like, you have to be almost disciplined to do this, because think about how much hours we've done already. We haven't been around long, but we've had to do this for a while, innit? So for me, like, deciding to do this and being, not just deciding to do it, but committing to it, is almost part of it. I mean, before that, it was like being on like the youth team, and then like before that it was like, I don't remember exactly what it was, but like, track it all the way back in terms of when I got baptized. That was when I initially thought, you know what, I'm gonna try and follow Christ. And within that whole time, I've sinned there, but I've still made good decisions in that sense, you know what I mean. I still want to be very much a follower of Christ as I did like 12 years ago now, I think, about that. Yeah.
I think I very much agree with that as well. For me, it's also an ongoing thing, so yeah, I'll just say the same as Cam, really. So in essence, I haven't got like the quote that we've just read and the verse, John 3 verse 8, I don't have a specific, I have dates when I've decided to follow Christ, but I don't have one date.
Yeah, I'm the same, but I would say, so obviously I gave my life to Christ when I was in year 6, so I was like, I think 12 or 11, can't remember. But I think for me, I would say I've followed Christ, but I feel like obviously I followed Christ because I was, you know, under my parents' roof. I mean, I had choice, but I didn't necessarily feel like I did, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I had no issue with that, because in a sense that I do believe that is what I wanted to do. But I think my true test of discipleship came when I left home, when I went to university. And I think that's why a lot of things spoke out to me in the chapter, because it talks about obedience a lot. And I think when I was reading the chapter, I was essentially reflecting on the reason why I had such an issue, you know, following what God desired for my life, and the fact that I'm claiming to be a Christian but I'm not necessarily doing things that a Christian ought to do, is because I had an issue with obeying God. And the reason why I had an issue with obeying God, if I deep it, is because I didn't love him as much as I was professing to love him.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally, as I was reading the chapter, that's when the penny dropped. I essentially didn't love God. It was very simple. And I think when people have an issue following what God says, love is not in your heart. And it's actually very simple. I didn't see as simply as that.
Woof.
But that is the point. And I will openly admit that I clearly didn't love Christ as much as I was saying I loved him, because it wouldn't be an issue. And when I was getting to know God, and that love for God began to grow. Wow.
yeah. 5 years in university. Yeah.
I corrected myself. 6 years, actually, but we don't talk about that. you know, when you're in the zone and you just clock what you said, like, wait, what? That doesn't even make any sense. I realized that it just became so natural, and it is because of that transformation. I'm not definitely not where I want to be as of yet, but if I look back, especially where I was in first year, it's the love wasn't as there as I thought it was. It's quite simple.
Second.
Do you know what's mad? Okay, got my testimony. Yeah, testimony slash story. Like, from what you lot are saying, as in, like, I can totally agree that obviously there's not much. There's been dates, but it's like there's nothing been confirmed. Obviously, as Cameron said, this thing here is something that I've committed for like a whole year now. Like, as in, I've been kind of I've been on form with it. You know, honestly, like, my form is
amen.
My form is, this is mental. Obviously, like,
wait, let me hold off saying amen. Amen to what? Carry on.
We're talking about the podcast, yeah?
Yeah, talking about the podcast.
Just so the listeners know, when they say this,
Definitely, it's the podcast. It's the podcast, because, like, what is it now? Like, is it, I've been trying to do stuff in my church, like, my label church, yeah? I've been trying to do stuff, but, yo, when I say, like, you know, when you just start something, but you don't finish it?
I've been
doing that for the longest while, but with this now, like, this is something that I'm, like, actually, like followed through with, yeah, like, and I've kept on following through.
Would you say that
That's just a,
would you say that God has would you say that this has grown your faith and commitment with God, and with things that are like, with things that he wants you to do?
This has grown my commitment. Faith is,
I lost you again, mate.
Most definitely. Oh yeah, most definitely.
Oh, okay.
I know, like, roof came in now.
Yeah, got you. Let me change my wife. Carry on. Is it me, or is everyone else losing it, or is it just
myself? I'm losing him.
Every now and then. Oh, okay.
So you haven't changed your wife, Alvin?
Nah, it's not me. I was trying to work out if it was me or you. It's not me. This time it's not me.
Is it me?
It might be.
Yeah, it's definitely you.
Like, actually, is it actually me?
It might be.
Oh. My gosh.
this is why being together so much easier.
Yeah. Oh, this lockdown business, man.
I know, literally. What did I say last?
You were answering, basically, what was your answer to Alvin's question about, was it,
has it grown your commitment and your faith, would you say?
Wow, you don't sound, how about you? What's it?
Yeah, it's you.
Oh, gotta have to go now.
Oh, you sound clear now. You sound good now. Hello?
It's coming, don't worry.
Alright. Whilst he's coming, I was gonna just comment on just a real quick verse from what Talitha was saying. I was just going to say, firstly, 100% agree. And I have found it to be true with myself as well. Like 100% found it to be true with myself as well. And the verse that I think of when you're talking about that was John 14 verse 15. And it's like really few words. All it says is, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I know that when it's been hard to keep commandments, it's when I have when I have loved the least, when I've loved God the least. And not loving God is not like you go, ah, bun God. It's not like that, or going, okay, I put God aside. It's more like neglect is a form of hate or a form of not loving. Like oftentimes when we think not loving God, we think, oh, we're like rejecting God and we're spitting in God's face. But sometimes it's as simple as, I'm actually neglecting God here. And every time when I've done that, I know, but we don't often think like, when you were saying what you were saying, I was thinking, like, when I think of, do I love God? You think of the most twisted or the most vicious thing, and you think, oh, nah, I definitely have always loved God. But you don't, let me speak personally, but then you don't, I haven't gone, well, what does it mean to actually love God? What does it mean to not love God? Yeah. Sometimes it just means neglecting God. And me neglecting God is not loving God. And then it makes it harder for me to actually do what he wants me to do.
Yeah. Because if you call yourself a Christian, you're not going to say you don't love God, because people look at you funny. Mm-hmm. Like the fact that you're saying...
It might be me. Is that... Can you...
Nah.
It's not...
She really froze.
It literally just came off.
Okay.
What? And then it just came back on.
Well, we better pray.
Go on. Try again. Good.
What was I saying?
What was the question?
Talking about being a Christian, and that means that you love God.
Jose? You're talking about... Yeah. I just said... you're saying being a Christian, you're not going to say, I don't love God.
I can't remember what I was saying, so someone else.
You sure? Okay.
Yeah.
We can just move on. We can move on. Editing is a beautiful thing.
Beautiful thing.
I am trying to find the next... anyone has a jumping point? I don't yet have a jumping point. I'm trying to get back into my app.
I guess, I think... Well, for me anyway, just talk about the obedience and love a bit more, because that was essentially, for me anyway, that was the take home for this chapter. And you know, when you think of discipleship, you kind of think of, you know, following instructions, you know, following God, maybe leading in terms of to bring people to God as a disciple. But I don't know if it's just me, but I wouldn't necessarily think of linking it with love necessarily.
Okay.
Because you know, sometimes even if you're applying for a job, sometimes they do talk about the attribute of discipleship. You wouldn't then go to an interview and say, I'm a loving person.
It's true. Yeah.
Do you know what
no
I mean?
No one's ever done that.
Yeah. Funnily enough though, obviously, for social work and that, like, you do have to, they do want to see a level of
care
and empathy and stuff like that.
Like, I love that you word, man.
Like, more intrinsic stuff that's not really like a skill. It's more like you either have it or you don't, or you're able to like use it and like not use it in certain points. I don't know. I wanted to kind of tackle in this aspect, but the point of obedience, I think, is a good one in terms of how much do I actually love God, and that whole neglecting thing as well. We know, even like in like neglect, if you neglect a child, like, you don't love that child, if that makes sense. Like, the two go hand in hand. Like, yeah, you can't, and the same goes for God. So if we're not speaking to God, then how can we claim to love him? But then, like, that's even with me and it, like, this week, bro, like, last week, like, I haven't really been chatting to girls, I'll just be honest, bro. Like, and I have wrestled with it in terms of, like, how much do I actually love God? And then, yeah, I've just been kind of wrestling that, but, like, reading this has kind of helped to put a few more stuff into perspective for me.
Wait, question, what part are we on?
We're not on a part, we're just like
talking
about the general themes.
Sorry, listeners out there, by the way, man.
Nah, it's cool.
Sound a lot better anyway.
I weren't talking to you anyway, come on. I was talking to the listeners, you know what I mean? But yeah.
Oh, you're with listeners where? What? Where's your audience? Outside? In the car?
Nah, I'm on Friday, innit?
Oh. It is true that there may. So this is page 58, paragraph 1. It is true that there may be an outward correctness of deportment without the renewing power of Christ. The love of influence and the desire for the esteem of others may produce a well-ordered life. Self-respect may lead us to avoid the appearance of evil. I love that she inserts in there the word appearance. May lead us to avoid the appearance of evil. A selfish heart may perform generous actions. Ain't that crazy? A selfish heart may perform generous actions. By what means then shall we determine whose side we are on?
Do you know what it is? That's actually true though. Like, as in, selfish hearts always do perform, like, as in, good, but it's temporary though. You know what I mean? Like, as in,
yeah.
For example, prime example, guys, when they wanna, when they want to get with a girl, but they only wanna get with her, they do the most at start, but when they get what they want.
That's an example right there.
Hasta la vista. So rude.
It's so true.
It is what it is.
They
it is.
Put the work
it is
in.
What it is.
It is what it is.
Terrible.
The work is put in.
That's what it is. Mm. I can't relate.
So like that feeds into the point of, you can even be like, so for example, people always say are good, quote unquote, good people going to hell? That kind of brings up that type of question, and I think that's important, because like, you can still be a good person, you can still be respectful, you know, you can still be like, no one's saying that you can't be these
sorry go on.
Do you want to go give her a coat?
We don't body shame in 2020.
Justin, just run that again.
Justin, meet yourself.
Sorry.
Alright,
does she need a coat?
I forgot my point.
It's more than a coat.
Oh, it's only good people that go into hell.
To hell, yeah. So people always like say like, how can that be? Like, so, we see people that aren't Christian, you know, giving to the poor, you know, like doing all these things, like still having like self-respect, dignity, whatever. You know, partly it could be argued that, you know, those things are intrinsic to us, those things are natural to us because of the creator that we're created by. But I think to do that long term, and to do that in situations where to actually be a disciple where it actually counts, like for example, was it Peter that chopped off the Don's ear? And in that moment, like, he wasn't showing the character of Christ in it. So, okay, yeah, we might have said up to that point, you know, he was a good disciple, but in the crunch time, you know what I mean? And that's what the power of God
in many points
needs to do to us, isn't it? It needs, in the critical moments, you're still acting with a high sense of morality.
And the thing is,
with a godly sense of morality as well.
And then on top of that, I could, like, the question is like, why am I doing, say if I'm doing good works, why am I doing them? Am I being generous so that you can see that I'm being generous? Because do you remember the example of the there's a moment when Jesus points out to the disciples, something about the widow who gave her two mites, who gave her everything. Mm-hmm. And then he makes mention of the fact that even though the rich who are there are giving colossal amounts of money away,
mm-hmm.
number one, they're doing it so publicly. Number two, it's again, it's all about motive. Mm-hmm. So that in that w- so that to the question that she asks, by what means then shall we determine whose side we are on? She then goes on to say, she asks another question and sort of starts giving answers sort of in the questions and so forth. She goes, who has the heart? So it boils down to heart. Who has the heart? With whom are our thoughts? Of whom do we love to converse? Who has our warmest affections and our best energies? If we are Christ's, our thoughts are with him, and our sweetest thoughts are of him. All we have and are is consecrated to him. Whew. Everything we, all our, what did I say? All we have and are consecrated to him, are dedicated to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes I think to myself, and I know it, and I know it to be true, and I know it's the Spirit of God convicting me, like, the question will always pop up, like, it won't even be a thought, it'll be a statement, like, you're not behaving for God, or you're not doing this for God. The fact that she says everything we have and everything we are should be dedicated to him, will be consecrated to him, I like, that means I can't even describe what I can't even I have no words to say, like, I have no words. It just means what it says. At the same time, it's such a heavy statement and it's such a heavy decision to make. We long to bear his image, breathe his spirit, do his will, and please him in all things.
I'm saying it has to be genuine.
That's what
though.
It means to be a disciple.
Just because obviously you have people like the Pharisees or just our everyday equivalent where they are obeying because they believe that that will give them salvation, as it rightly points out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the fact that, no, as Sister Ellen says, salvation is free. It's a gift that God has given to us. Mm-hmm. But where obedience plays a part is because the gift of salvation is through faith. But obedience, I think it says obedience is a fruit of faith.
Yes, it is.
So I think when we obey as well,
or carry on, sorry.
It's like when we obey as well, we should make sure that we should still question ourselves, why is it that we're doing what we're doing? Is it because we believe that just by doing this, we're now stepping into the kingdom just like that? Or are we actually doing it? Are we obeying God because of his promises? Because we believe in the fact that the words that he has given us is life. And I think if we're not challenging ourselves on that, then we could fall into the trap of obeying just because, rather than it being from a place of love and a place of faith and building on those principles that are meant to, like, govern our lives, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Do you not as well, like, I'm not, like, okay, there's certain things, like, in my life that I haven't done, not because God doesn't want me to do them, but because I don't want to be like those people over there. So, and it just happens to kind of fall in line with God's law as well. Like, and I think I've kind of had to work myself out of that mentality, because I know that, like, just to not be like somebody else isn't enough to keep me from not sinning. I mean, yeah, that's not healthy, innit? Like, to, and it's kind of pretentious in a way, because it's kind of like, you know,
hello?
It's not really that genuine, like, and it won't keep me in the long run. And I had to,
Mark?
Like, it was kind of like a year of where, you know, you're in uni, you're being exposed to like new things or whatever, And you have to have, I feel like in uni, you have to have more reasons not to do stuff. You know what I'm saying? If you really want to not do things, you know what I'm saying? It can't just be because, you know, your parents don't want you to do it, or, you know, your grandma said, you know, don't do that, you know what I'm saying? Like, it has to be because you love God. Like, that's the only reason. Can't be any other reasons even attached to it. You know what I mean?
100. It's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Or better still, what came first, love or obedience? Part of it is like, do you know what I've realised? I'm going to speak sort of abstractly, if that's alright. Like, what happens is, like, I think it's easier to appear a fool when you love the person who you're going to appear a fool for, if that makes sense. So, like,
you have to narrow that. You have to be a bit.
I'm coming to the specific.
That's too airy.
Yeah, no.
Even like, if you put names to it, sometimes that helps.
Yeah. Now put names to it. Just so
you get it. Okay.
There's too many ones in there.
If I love God, I wouldn't mind appearing a fool to others because I love God. Do you know what I mean? Especially if everything that He wants is in my interest and is better for me than what everyone else wants.
Okay.
Why should I be concerned how I appear to everyone?
Oh, I get what you're saying. See, like, literally, if you had just put it, like, I get you now.
But the reason I was going to the other example, or the other angle of it as well, was like, In a more general sense, is like the world wants the opposite to what Christ wants. So that Christ says, obey me. Like, Christ wants us to be obedient to Him and whatnot. But then on the other hand, Frozen, for example, don't want the complete opposite. Like, so have you guys ever listened to the words for the song Frozen?
Then Let It Go.
The Let It Go song.
When you said Frozen, I thought you were saying it by accident. Wait,
No. I meant it.
No, so something by my mountain tonight. Not something to be seen.
Kingdom
of Isolation. Kingdom of Isolation.
Do you know the bit where it's funny how some distance makes everything seem small? That bit.
Yes.
Right. So it's funny how some distance makes. Oh, go on, sing it then.
Oh no, I'm not doing that.
Go on.
We need to do an After Sundown karaoke.
Do we? We should.
Okay. Alvin would win, but it's still.
No. It's not about. That's not what it's about.
Don't count me out, you know.
It's funny how some distance makes everything seem small. So remember, like, so you're talking about how a large theme of this is like obedience and love, right? And that's what God wants us to be, disciples of Him. And then the world wants something completely different. So it's funny how some distance makes everything seem small, and the fears that once controlled me can't get to me at all. It's time to see what I can do, to test the limits and break through. No right, no wrong, no rules for me. I'm free. Let it go, let it go. Oh, I can't live back anymore. But ain't that crazy? Did you catch that?
No.
Did you catch that? You didn't catch it?
I did.
Oh, you did. Oh, I was about to say.
I had no.
You guys are enjoying the song too much.
Hold on, don't let it go.
No. Listen to this.
Don't let it go.
No right, no wrong, no rules for me.
I'm saying the opposite of let it go.
Yeah, oh, hold on. Yeah, hold on.
Hold on.
It will be all right. Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's what. So Christ, on one hand, wants us to be obedient to Him. And then the songs that, like, kids all across the nation, all across the world have been singing is the song, No Right, No Wrong, No Rules for Me, I'm Free. That's what freedom is. Mm-hmm. And yet Christ's law is described as the law of liberty. Like, the complete opposite. So to me, I'm starting to understand it's no wonder that we will appear peculiar when everything else is saying follow your own heart, as it were, as Disney would have us say, follow your heart. And God is saying, no, no, your heart is, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? So like, it's the complete opposite of God's will, absolutely the complete in fact, it's following Satan, because Satan is the one who said, what did he say, he's the one who said, you will be as gods, knowing good and evil, or as God, knowing good and evil. I will be my own God, I will follow my own heart, and by so doing I'm actually following Satan's instruction. I'm disobeying God's instruction and following Satan's instruction by following my own heart. So it's not like I'm just following myself and following what I want to do. I'm actually being obedient to Satan by obeying my own heart. So this whole, I'll leave it there actually. Someone else do put a thread in. All right. I'll mute myself now.
So let's do like two other points, and then like we'll finish on it, because we don't want this one to be super long. But so like, just off that obedience point, there was a verse that kind of summed it up. Where is it gone now? Where is it? Okay, so Hebrews 10 verse 16 says, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. So it's not even just a matter of not following your heart, but it's also like what God's going to do. He's going to write the law on our hearts and our minds.
Amen.
Like, it's not like, and the mind thing, I think as well, when it comes to being a disciple as well, when it comes to being a follower, you have to, we're instructed to use our heads as well as our heart, innit? So obviously the heart generally is, you know, let me just take it to what I've been learning today, innit? So in like the profession of just like caring for people or whatever, you have to use your head. Yeah, you have to use your head to problem solve. The front of your brain is that, you know, quantified. Again, there's something I've been reading about like caring for people and stuff.
Take a step back to like empathy. Two sentences ago, mate. I just lost you for a sec. Sugar.
You lost me.
Yeah, and it just told me that my connection went poor. Okay. Carry on. Go again.
I'll take two sentences.
Just start again.
I'll start again. Okay, cool. So, I was saying that, so God instructs us to use our heads and our hearts, and I was all, you have to use your head. It's a very important tool, helps us to think through rational decisions. But then there's stuff that like you're almost told to kind of like that gut feeling, or like use your like judgment and decision making. And I don't know in any brain scans, but you can't really see what judgment looks like. You can't really see what empathy looks like. Okay, yeah, we can see certain parts of the brain firing off, but we don't really know how this love thing works in terms of like physically and it. But love isn't learnt, if that makes sense. Genuineness isn't learnt. So yeah, so that's just to say that when being a disciple, it's important to have both. If you have too much head, you end up like a Pharisee. If you have too much heart, you'll end up following your own heart. That's it. Yeah, God instructs us to do both. I'll go further down.
I don't know. I don't know that he
why wouldn't the verse just say then my law is written in their
I will write their law in their heart.
Why would it? What? Yeah.
I think it's like, built it on the
it
premise.
It doesn't just mention the mind. It's mentioning the heart as well. Like we like don't forget too. Like it almost seems like they know too much, that they think that they're above God. So even. I'm not saying it's a balance, you know. I'm not saying that. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying.
No, I'm not
saying it's a balance versus the heart and the head. I'm saying both have to be in, like, going forward together.
Like, I guess what I was saying is, like,
of the two.
All I was saying is, even with the heart. So, for example, when David prays, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me," and God promises he will give us a new heart. He'll give us a heart of flesh and not of stone. As you mentioned, he does say he will write his law in our heart, in our hearts. But when we do things, we never do them. When I say from the heart, because to me, biblical terms, or as far as I can see or understand, biblical terms can have like two meanings or two applications. So one sense can be,
yeah, well, I know we both can agree that it's not literally talking about the heart as in the beating heart.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I mean, like,
blood around the body.
No, I mean it in the sense of
go on.
Oh, no, I meant it in the sense of, like, one heart is like, okay, when it says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? It's sort of saying, if I were to do something because it feels right to me to do, regardless of how right it feels, it could be the wrong thing. So, for example, Paul was instructed by several people not to go to, I think it's Jerusalem, because Jerusalem or Rome, I can't remember which. Because if he were to go there, he was just instructed, don't go there. And several people had visions where they were like, don't go to Jerusalem. God was telling him, do not go to Jerusalem. And it was part of his plan. In his mind, he knew the direction that he wanted to take the ministry and so forth. And when he did things the way he felt he should have done them, his ministry did not go exactly how it did not go as the way that God wanted it to. In fact, things became harder for him afterwards. It didn't stop, but it became harder. There's, like, when he did go, I think it was to Jerusalem, certain things became harder. He had to go and purify himself for several days, which he need not have done, and all sorts of other things happened. And that was out of his, like, this feels right to do. And the sense in which I was speaking is that my heart can tell me, have you ever, like, this, there's the saying, how can it be wrong when it feels so right? Like, that's what that verse means by the heart is deceitful. Something can feel so right and yet be wrong. But then the marriage between that. The two is like, when God says, so all I was saying, I wasn't disagreeing, I was just saying, like, all I was saying is, when God says, I will write my law in your heart, it's not even our heart that we're following in that instance, it's God's law. But God makes it I don't know how to explain it. He starts changing our nature, and,
like, because they're just literally because of the whole creating me, not even, sorry, that's the wrong text. The text I mentioned before, let me get it quickly, because it basically says it's 2 Corinthians. 517. If any man being God referring to is the heart that has now been transformed, so like the two are synonymous because of that transformation. Like, so we're basically all agreeing on the same point.
Yeah.
Yes.
Unity.
Beautiful. On to the next one.
Go on, Cam.
I want to do the. Is it somewhere towards the end?
I know what I want to talk about.
I had one in the.
You are now listening to the After Sundown podcast.
I might have to record it.
Are we back?
You might have to.
Okay,
if you, imagine, if you finesse that, you're sick, you know.
I'm gonna try stuff.
Okay, let's give it a go as it is now.
I'm gonna have Cameron say what he says, and then Alvin says.
Talitha, you can resume if you want. We're back. Hello.
Yes, she's back.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know why it's acting up, because when I cheated, I've never had this issue, so I just don't understand.
I don't know either.
You think
it's
racist, that's why.
But go on, you guys were saying.
No, you were saying.
You were saying?
Oh, shame. Yeah, I was. But basically, the last three paragraphs, but particularly the first two of the three, I know that sounds confusing, but if you're following, you understand what I mean. Are you Justin?
Yeah. I can read it up if you want.
No, don't worry. I'm just going to summarize.
That's what I thought.
You'll have.
Go on.
Okay. So it's the fact that the closer you get to God, obviously, the more that you are having a relationship with him, developing godly attributes and things like that, you begin to see the faults in your own character. It makes such a good point of the fact that the reason why you couldn't see those faults before is essentially because Satan had deluded you in thinking that you are okay, literally, and you're not okay. But when that process starts to take place, even though you may think that's you are further away from God at that moment, you're actually very close to him. So keep persevering with the relationship with God, because that is what is needed. You have to recognize your own faults, your own sins, in order for that transformation to take place, in order for repentance to take place, in order for confessing to take place. You can see how all the previous chapters that we've gone through, and all the previous episodes linked to this point of becoming a disciple, because until you recognize the problems that you have and the fact that you will not accept that as that being the way that you are, as the devil likes to tell us, that we now rely on God to have that transformation and make that change and the spirit to dwell in our lives, etc., etc., then you are able to love God, because you love him because of the fact that he has changed you, and you are now a better person because of him, and then that love is organically cultivated. And you know, like, you take time, just like how you look after a plant. I won't show you the plants in my room because they are dead. But if you
killing cactuses and that,
my plants are not a representation of my spiritual life. But if you do it correctly, that's the path that's meant to, like, those are the steps that are meant to happen. And I just thought it was a really nice way to end the chapter, because ultimately that is what's going to happen in your journey. You will have you will like be woke essentially in that moment, just like, rah, I'm messed up.
Yeah, that's not nice.
Keep pushing. It's not nice.
It's not nice. I hate that, you know. Like, I don't like that bit. Like, I feel like that's what's probably kept me from being very consistent with God, because it's almost like, again, like, it's almost like that shining light thing. Like, I almost can't, I don't even want to go near the light, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's too bright, you know what I mean? It seems unattainable now. Like, you know what, we're gonna finish at the time.
Yeah. So
you guys can actually continue when I go. It's actually fine.
No, it's not even about it. I need to
Nah, but you know what it is?
My bed's right here.
After the back of that, have you like noticed how like bacon tastes so much nicer when you don't know that it's, obviously you know it's bad, but like it tastes so much nicer when you're just enjoying it. And it's like, raw. When you like kind of hear about the health message and it's like, yo, pig is this. I mean, you kind of do research yourself. It's like, yo, I can't be getting this. And the stuff that it does like cause in the long
run. Just take your, say that again and just take your, bring it to your mouth, your
AirPod up.
AirPod.
I got AirPod in, so like, if I take it to my mouth,
I'm saying it's not, it won't work. It will stop, I think.
Oh, if you take it out of your ear and put it to your mouth.
Can you hear me better?
Yes, I can. That's Chris. Say all of that again, please, boss.
Is that beautiful?
It is, mate.
Nah, but as I was saying, it's mad how bacon tastes so much nicer, yeah? Like, when you're just not consciously aware that, like, it's not good for you. Because, like, obviously, growing up, I knew it wasn't good for me, but, like, when you taste it for the first time, it's like, yo.
Sweet stuff.
I've been missing out on something sweet, you know? But, like, okay. It's one of those ones where it's just like, wrong. When you actually do research on it, it's like, man, it causes this, it can cause this for the future. It can, like, heighten your cholesterol, all of that. But, like, it's just so much nicer when, like, you're just going through,
when you're sinning ignorantly.
When the devil's just like, yo. Yeah. Yeah, literally, when the devil's just like, yo, this is something that you've been missing out on, you know what I mean? Like, is it, even sex, for example, this is something that you've been missing out on. Keep on doing it. Like, it will fill you up. Even, like, driving recklessly, it will fill you up, but then like one thing could happen, and like it could get me, like bacon can like give you diabetes, little diseases like that, sex diseases, you get me, driving reckless, death, you get me. It's one of those ones. That's mad.
Yeah.
I drove from Brum yesterday. The mad thing is someone was in my car, but like when I say that, like I literally just went into the lane without thinking. But there was literally a van right next to me. I was thinking, oh my gosh, if I would have went thingy. But the thing is, I attacked like I was calm because like I couldn't make another person be fearful.
Yeah, so
like, you have to. That. Just start out and that, like, yo.
But like in my head, I was thinking,
I meant that.
Shoot. I was like, oh shoot, that was close, because
very close.
I did not see this van. Like, yeah. do you know when you watch the accidents on YouTube and it's like, yeah.
How
like,
did they?
It's mental, but like, fam, when I say that could happen to me yesterday, I was like, raw, I'm not driving reckless for the rest of the journey. But yeah,
here, how's the change? Like, I'm going to finish, I guess, or for my last comment, I'll just read a verse. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, and all it says is, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, so as we look at the glory of the Lord, we will be changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So all that is saying is, as we look at Christ, and when I say look, I mean like study the life of Christ, read about him every single day, read about what he did in the old in like times past in the Old Testament, what he has been doing, what he is doing for us now. When we see the love of God, the you can't get under it, can't get round it, can't get over it love of God, when we see that,
oh wonderful love.
We will be changed into that. The more we see it, and the more we love it, and the more we behold it, as the verse says, by the Spirit of the Lord, he will change us into that. We will be images of Christ. We'll be reflections of Christ. And what a thing to be. When you're talking about light, there were two verses that came into my mind, Cam. One of them was it talked about, one of them says something like, loving darkness rather than light. I'll have to look it up, but it talks about,
I think I know which one you're about.
Yeah.
I forgot it,
but you know, you know the verse, okay, put it in the description. One of them talks about, but they loved darkness rather than light, and then the other
John
one was
3:19.
Can you read it, please?
This is the verdict. All right, let me get. Do you want King James?
Oh, no, no, no. That even that's
no,
fine.
No, 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 no.
Oh,
it's cold.
Okay, so this is NIV. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil.
Oof. So light, the light being Christ, came into the world, but we loved the darkness more than we loved the light.
You know,
because our deeds.
One thing before Cameron says. Because the light make, when you're in the light, yeah, it makes you very vulnerable. Oh, exposure. No, are you gonna say it?
Great minds.
You see, you see when you just doing a little, you doing your little thing in the dark, bro. And the light comes on, bro. And you think, oh crap, what? I look mad right about.
Yo.
I just knew where to leave was.
Light is a what did they say? Sunshine, sunlight is the best disinfectant. So they say. That's how the saying goes.
You see, like, okay, you can't have like a party.
In the light. You it's cannot.
So you can have a day party, but everyone has to be. It has to be like a big amount of people, but like a small amount of people, like.
And
when
it doesn't.
You get your little wine, and you get your little waist.
Nah, even saying that, do you know when someone turns on the light and it's like, yo, what are you doing? You're
the light exposes.
Get me.
Exposes everything. Yeah, we see him over there catching the wine.
Listen, hands where they shouldn't be, you know.
Everything shifty happens in the dark, man. If he's telling you to meet you after hours, don't go, sis. It's because he doesn't want to get caught, okay?
Even though
sunset's at 4 o'clock right now, meet him at 3:30.
Mad. It's mad how like everything also stops when the light turns on, don't you get me?
Yeah.
Deep is everything stops when the light turns on because it's like no one wants to get caught in that madness.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So all I was gonna say is contrasting that verse. Oh sorry. Oh, I was just gonna say oh snap. All I was gonna say is so there's that verse.
Say bye to the listeners. Say bye to
Luther.
Bye.
Bye, T.
See you next week.
See you soon. So all it is like that verse. What's it? Light has come into the world, but they love the darkness rather than light because of their evil deeds. So, like, sometimes we want to stay in darkness because of deeds, because of what we do, what we like doing, it can be contrasted with let's see, 1 Peter 2:9, and it calls us to do the opposite. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So God does the complete opposite. He's saying, okay, I know you love the darkness, but come out of it into my light. And I think what happens is, just like, you know when someone it's been nighttime and it's morning, someone comes into your room and flicks the light on. The first instinct is to cover your eyes or to close your eyes. You just don't want it. But leave the light long enough and you become accustomed to it and you become used to it.
Yeah.
And your eyes start to, like, your pupils constrict a little bit and you're like, oh, I'm now awake. Like, if I need to go to work and I just know I don't want to wake up, first thing I do is turn the lights on, and I don't want them on, but yes, in no time.
I'm the opposite, you know. I need like a little, I just need like a little, just like waft into the light. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll take a shower in the dark. In the morning,
oh my gosh!
What's going on, bro?
calm.
What's going on, man?
I like it, bro. I can't.
You've just broken my illustration.
My verse says, so it's Matthew 11:28, and it says, come to me all ye that are heavy laden and I will give you rest. And then it goes on to say, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, For I am meek and lonely in heart, and ye shall find me, find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So when we become disciples of Christ, is that like he wants to make, like, coming into the light, coming to God, we need to, like, he wants us to relax, you know what I mean? Let him take the reins, kind of thing. So yeah.
It's true, you know.
That's
it's true.
That's been our test of discipleship.
I almost want to say, like, to the listeners, there's actually, please read the whole book yourself and read the chapters as we go along, because, like, I think you'd agree that we've not even
we're not here to spoon feed ya.
Yeah,
I'm not here to spoon feed ya. I can't lie to ya.
We haven't touched the surface
all that time.
Whatever.
I'll be dead ass.
Nah, I believe you, Justin. But, like, Cam's coming for you, mate.
I'm just in a very hating mood today.
Oh, my goodness. That's not the spirit of Christ.
We'll eat some food, man.
I know.
Hungry. But, like, these guys will testify, and Talitha will also testify that, like, we haven't even scratched the surface. Not even scratched the surface. There's so, like, this would be hours if we were to actually scratch to the depths of it. But
I mean, but you know the thing is, though, like, maybe we've not, in a weird way, we have scratched, like, we have gone deep in terms of, like, I've always said, like, this isn't deep to us, you know what I'm saying? But it's deep to some, like, it might be deep to someone.
Literally, man, someone out there can relate to it.
You know what I mean? Like, someone's never heard this before, innit? So,
I also meant it like. Go on. Sorry. Go on.
I try not to, like, be like, oh, this is the surface, and then this is the deep part. You know what I mean?
I guess the way I meant it is, like, when I say we've touched. Say when I say, like, a percentage. Say, like, you know, let's say 100%. If you read through 100%, we've literally commented on, like, a few lines. When Talitha said at the beginning of it, there's so many gems in it. Like, it's worth reading the whole thing, because there's so many awesome things that she says. Like, even when she talks about the. I don't want to go into it, but, like,
do you know what I was gonna say? Okay, yeah. If you, like, we're assuming now, yeah, that everyone got a copy of Steps to Christ, yeah.
Yeah.
We've got some. If you're, like, international now, yeah, you might have to bleep this out in it, because I don't want to make any false promises. We'll try and get a copy, like, copies to you, man. Innit?
Hey!
Yeah. We'll try to get copies to you, man.
What do you mean? Hang on. There's a free way of accessing this. Surely, if they listen to the podcast, that means that they have internet access, which means
I'm gonna put the link in the description.
Put the link in the description.
We'll pay for your printer ink. We'll pay for your printer ink.
The app, mate. Cameron, don't listen to Cameron. You know what? It's out of Cameron's pocket.
Now, you know what? Bleep that whole bit out. I can't lie. I just realized what I was saying. We need money. We're broke.
Literally.
We need money.
Man can't pay for studio time. We want to be promising copies.
Yeah. So on the opposite thing now, yeah. We need money.
we're doing that, Nima. I can't be useful. You flopped it already, bro. You can't just go from
LNG, the app is called.
Anyway, that was another episode.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough. Go on, close it out. Yeah. I was just going to say the app is called LNG White 2. The logo looks blue. You can also Google it. You can Google Steps to Christ online, and I'm sure it will come up.
The link
will be in the description.
Yeah.
I'm just giving out a location and like what it looks like.
No, you do, bro. You do, because some people might just put like Ellen White or something. That's not LNG, like, you know what I'm saying?
The link will be in the description. It's a hyperlink. Just click it.
There you go.
Well done, Justin. Well done.
All right, cool. So, boom. That's been the After Sundown podcast. Cam with Alvin, Justin, Talifa's gone. You know, she's doing her little thing. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, we're out. Yo, I need to, don't just end the recording. End the recording now, but I need to talk to you now.